please, to our Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as the young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, here in Isaiah, we are building. We're building to a crescendo. Isaiah will, from about 58, 59, to the end of the book, he is building up and he is showing that great messianic hope of his people of all time. And that is not just simply the salvation of their souls, but the conquering of Messiah over the whole earth and subduing men from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation unto himself, and ruling the earth, and his gospel being proclaimed and covering the world as the waters cover the face of the deep. This is that Puritan hope, as it has been known throughout the ages, a triumphalist understanding of the end of the ages, that our Lord Jesus Christ indeed would cause things to go forward and not backward, that His glory will be known in all the nations of the world, that His salvation will be seen from one end of the earth to the other. And comparatively speaking, as we've spoken before, we understand that over the last 2,000 years, while in our day it may seem that things are difficult and that it looks as if the church is heading for a rather ignominious end, we don't believe that. We believe that things are going forward and not back. And while that forward graph may look like this, and we may be in one of these downturns, that front to back, we see the Lord Jesus Christ increasing His authority and expanding His church, and that He is ruling, bringing all nations to Himself. And so, brothers and sisters, this is what Isaiah speaks of here in chapter 62, and we'll see, Lord willing, this afternoon in chapter 63. So, notice in the first section then, and I have it as verses 1 through 5, we continue in the mode of rejoicing, looking forward to the days of Messiah and the consummation under Him. This chapter is a chapter of great hope for the people of God in all ages of redemption. First, note that the Lord Himself speaks. The Lord Himself will not rest until He has accomplished His gracious purpose in Zion. The Lord will not rest. Are you reminded of John chapter 5? I was when I read this. You remember at the beginning of that chapter, we'll look at this a little bit later today. Perhaps that's why I was reminded of it, because I was already thinking about it. But you remember Jesus is accused of breaking the Sabbath day in John 5. And in chapter 17, Jesus says, oh no, you're wrong. My Father works hitherto, and I work. And the Lord here presents Himself in Isaiah 62 as one who will not rest until all of His purposes are accomplished upon Zion. The Lord is not resting in the work of redemption. Let us not think that because it seems that in our society today we see a downturn of religion, of religious observance, of sincerity, a decline from holiness, even in the visible church, that the Lord is somehow forgotten, or the Lord is somehow absent, or that He's somehow resting. He's not. He's working. He's continuing. And we may not understand everything that He's doing, but we can have faith that He is doing well, that He is advancing His purposes. So, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy light, and they shall be drawn like moths to the light of a porch. In Isaiah's day, this was a marvelous statement. In our day as well, we understand how that the Lord will indeed press that light of the church throughout the entirety of the world. And here we are in America, across an ocean and a sea, right? The Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea, from where the gospel first met its manifestation in Christ. Halfway almost around the world, here we are. But not just here, in far-flung lands, in Asia, in the islands of the sea, and over and again we've heard in Isaiah where he says, even unto the isles, and to the ancient Near Eastern mindset how that was the end of the world. The isles, they will hear of the glory of God and will come. Yes, yes, even them. All right, so the Lord says that she, that is the church, will become this burning lamp, a light that cannot be ignored or thought insignificant. This light that shines is the light of the gospel. It is the light of salvation. It is the light that is, you know, light in Scripture is often a metaphor for knowledge. And of course, we understand in Scripture how knowledge and salvation go together, that there is a particular content to doctrine that must be professed, that must be taught. It is, and that is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can't be saved by a false Christ. Can't be saved by a false gospel. Can't be helped by false doctrine. How difficult is it if that light is darkness? And notice all this blessing and glory is in the hand of thy God. So it is not according to her own strength. It is not according to her own working. It is not according to her own prowess, intellectual or physical. It's not according to ships and armies. It is in the hand of the Lord. It is in His strength. And of course, in this chapter, the hand and the arm of the Lord represent, that is, the stretching forth of God by sending His Son. It's a great gospel passage here in Isaiah 62. There are new names that will be given to the church. The church in Isaiah's day, the Lord is talking about divorce, isn't he? He's talking about her being like a woman forsaken, a woman cut off, a woman sent away. But notice he has two new names for Jerusalem and for her habitation. First of all, he will call her Hephzibah. Hephzibah. What does Hephzibah mean? It is the statement of the Lord where he says, I delight in her. That's the Bah ending, her. Hephzi, I delight. Hephzibah, I delight in her. She's no longer forsaken. I take delight in my church. Notice the lack of universality, right? The Lord doesn't say, I'm taking delight in the whole world. I'm taking delight in my church, in my people. I delight in her. She is mine. And then the land is called Be'ulah. Be'ulah. You know what Be'ulah means? Married. No longer will the Lord speak of divorce with regard to His people. He will speak of marrying them. He will speak of joining Himself to them. He will speak of them being His bride and all that that carries with it. His care and instruction, discipline and help, His provision, protection, all of that belongs to us, God's people. We are not forsaken. We are Be'ulah, married to the Lord. You remember what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 pertaining to that. What does the Lord do for His church? He washes her with the water of the Word. He cleanses her. He cares for her. He does everything that is necessary for her. So, this first portion then is a great and encouraging passage that while even in Isaiah's day, in a day when the church was at a lower ebb, when the church was under the judgment of the Lord, Isaiah looks to a greater day, the days of Messiah, when the blessing of God will expand. You remember a few chapters back? Stretch out those tent stakes. Pull the skin tighter. Make it bigger. You're going to need a lot of room. So that's the kind of day that we're talking about here. All right, in the second section, verses 6 through 9, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, is where it begins. Note the watchmen on the walls and that the preaching of the word is a blessing. It is a gift from the Lord. These watchmen are commanded also to keep not silence. I like that. I like that. The ministers of the gospel are commanded not to keep silence, but to make a full use of their office, to preach, to instruct, to do those things that God has put them in their place to do. Not to be cowards in office, but to ask those hard questions and to say those hard things. Also to give those encouragements and eases into good duty. So, the ministers are commanded in two fronts, I think, not to keep silence. And in the first, they are watchmen on the walls, right? So they give warning, they give instruction. But the second portion, the Lord says, and give him no rest. I think He is still speaking to the watchman there, and He's telling the watchman, give me no rest. In other words, give the Lord no rest. Continue diligent in prayer. Notice, I have set watchmen on thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give Him no rest, till He establish, until He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So not only are they to preach, but ministers are to be men of prayer, that they give the Lord no rest day or night till He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And so once again, we all can make an application from that, but it is specially given to ministers here to be men of prayer, to pray that God would do those things that He has promised to the church. You say, well, if He's already promised them, why do you pray for them? Because we want them in our age. We don't want them in the future. We want them now. We want them on the church today during our age. And so we pray for them to come now in this time. And the Lord do what He will. But shouldn't our desire to be to see that Jerusalem is made a praise among the nations of the earth today? In our day? Or would we be content to say to the Lord, pass by our generation and bless the next? Far be it from us. Far be it from us to think that. So let us not pass by. Let us give the Lord no rest, but as the old Puritans used to say, but suing heaven night and day for the blessings that God has promised, and having confidence that when we ask for those things that He has promised, He will do beyond what we can ask or think. All right, so then the last section, verses 10 through 12. The people of God with their ministers are told to prepare themselves for the coming of the salvation of the earth. The salvation of the Lord to the ends of the earth. They are to make a way for the salvation of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you know what I'm going to say here. This is not a surprise to any of you. But when we are told to open the gates, to smooth up the way, that doesn't mean that we are assisting God in doing what He will do. It means that we are doing our part to walk in the means that God has said, so that when He comes, there will be a greater facility in our hearts to receive Him. We cannot expect that the Lord will do against the means that we're walking in, right? I mean, if we're walking in evil means, if we're filling our minds with all kinds of things, filling our time with all kinds of things other than Him, what will happen? What does the Scripture say? You remember over and over again, and just, let me just remind you of this. The Lord comes a-knocking, and we say what? Well, I've got an ox. I've got a team, an oxen team that I need to prove out. I've got a field that I need to go look at. I've got this thing that I need to do, and that thing that I need to do, instead of opening the door. You know what that is? That's what happens when you don't make yourself ready. What is Isaiah telling us to do here? Make ready. Make yourselves ready. Run in those ways, in those paths of readiness to hear the Lord. You come to church on Sunday. Do you come after having spent, all of Saturday night in entertainments and recreations, staying up to the wee hours of the morning doing that? How can we expect then to make ourselves ready to hear the good things that the Lord would say to us? If we're not making ourselves ready, listen, we're hardening ourselves. There is no neutral in this. And so what Isaiah tells the people of the Lord, notice, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, set it up, be ready. It's like, if you're destitute of water and you know there's a waterfall, don't go there without a cup, don't go there without a jug, don't go there without a vat to carry home with you. Otherwise, all you get is a mouthful. Don't you want more than that? Then prepare. Prepare yourselves for the means of grace and making use of them. All right, so then the chapter ends with this. That the church will have a particular reputation. Notice, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Whenever the Lord says, thou shalt be called, He's talking about our reputation. And what is our reputation today? Do we have a reputation as being a holy people? You know, some churches attract people because they have a reputation of being a rich church, a fun church. Come here for your recreations. Come here for your programs. Come here and be holy. You don't see that on church billboards very often, do you? But this is what the Lord says our reputation ought to be. So let us then take our instruction from Him. Thus ends the reading of Isaiah chapter 62.